This is an extract from an interview I recorded with Brian Wilson over Microsoft Teams in September 2021. I wanted to talk to Brian because his name had come up repeatedly in other interviews when we discussed the origins of the HIDB Community Co-op scheme that was launched in 1977. In the mid-1970s, Brian was a journalist working at the West Highland Free Press. His visits to a comparable community co-op initiative in the Irish Gaeltacht, the connections he made with people working there, and the articles he subsequently published were influential in raising awareness of the concept of community co-ops in Scotland. Here he tells a story in his own words, recounting the origins and the legacy of community co-ops in the Highlands and Islands.
Brian, what made you first brought to your attention the community co-op scheme in the Irish Gaeltacht, and why were you inspired to write about it and think it would work in Scotland?
Yeah. Well, I think it's always important to recognise what had been done before, and there had always been a strain within the HIDB which advocated a more community-led approach to development, a different concept of development. In particular, there was a very good guy, Bob Story, who was at the HIDB from its earliest days. So there'd been people, arguing internally for years instead of being the kind of conventional, you know, grant and loan to private developers, that there should be, you know, a different concept of development. So that's it's important background, because nobody ever does things on their own. There's always history to these things. But it's quite funny because I can actually almost visualize it. But someone left you'd almost have mistaken it for a sort of religious tract, but just a little booklet, about Glen Columbkeel in the West Highland Free Press office, and I've often wondered who it was, and it lay there for long enough. But I always remember it had a little, it had a quote in the front, which was better to light one candle than forever curse the darkness, which actually turned out to be, I don't think it was original, but it had been used by the guy behind Glen Columbkeel. So eventually, I don't remember the exact trigger, but eventually I became sufficiently interested in that concept to go and see what was going on there. Anyway, the upshot of that was that I wrote about them, and I asked Father McDyer and Tom O'Donnell if they would come across to the Hebrides to talk about the concept of community co-ops, and they said they would they'd be delighted to. And there'd been co-ops in the Hebrides and in the Highlands and Islands before, but they were tended to be, I think they would all have been single function co-ops. And what was quite intriguing and different about this was the multi-function, the idea that there wasn't just one thing, but it was across a number of activities in each case, and they were different activities, whatever suited the needs of the area. And that, that seemed to me to be a very appropriate form of development for the West Highlands and Islands. As it turned out, I think it was exclusively the Islands. Anyway, so that done, I don't know what year we're in, 76, 77, something like that. And then one day the chairman of the Highlands and Islands Development Board at that time was a guy, Ken Alexander, who was a good guy. And Ken was a kind of Labour guy, and he was an economist, very, very highly respected guy. And I bumped into Ken at Edinburgh Airport, and he said that he'd been reading this stuff, he'd been writing about the community co-ops, and I think it would be fair to say that Ken was looking to put a different kind of stamp on the HIDB at that time. And so he said, I said, you know, that these guys were willing to come across. And he said, well, you know, we could take that on and bring them over. And that suited us both very well because, you know, I didn't have the wherewithal to really take it forward. The only way it could have been taken forward was through the HIDB. So that was what happened, was that Tom O'Donnell and Father McDyer came across, and they did public meetings in, I think, in Stornoway and Castlebay in Barra, and you know, created a lot of interest. You know, I think it did introduce a new awareness of, you know, self-help and enablement in places which hadn't had much opportunity to do that. From the HIDB point of view, that they supported them, but it was still on the fringes of their business model. And I suppose by 1979, it would have been difficult for it to be, you know, wasn't the best time to be saying we're suddenly going to adopt a sort of, you know, different, you know, a kind of cooperative or, you know, sort of community-based model. But fair enough, you know, I mean, you know, within its own limitations, they did okay. And as I say, there's legacies. But I think if you fast forward it, what it undoubtedly did was it laid the ground for community land ownership. And in a number of cases, the same people would have been involved, you know, and would have seen when community land ownership became an option, that they would have seen that pretty much as an extension of what they'd been working in for years or decades before that. So I think, again, there is a continuum. It gave people the confidence to do these things. It provided at least the basis of a framework to do them within, and it, yes, in that respect, also the legacy, it does live on.